If you are the next person in line for a bathroom stall, do you have a responsibility to everybody behind you to make sure all the stalls are in fact occupied? All right, let me explain. I'm in Boulder. I'm having dinner. Went out there to cover prime time.
Yep.
I'm at a restaurant, and it's one of those restaurants that's nice, so it's just four individual giant cedar doors.
Yep.
Anybody can go in.
Yep.
I walk up to use the restroom. There is a young lady standing there.
Okay.
Okay. And I think cracked maybe like a little joke, like, you know, like, yeah. Oh, they're all taken always, you know, and she was like, yeah. So I stand there. And then a lady comes out of one of them. And so she goes in, and I'm standing there waiting for someone to come out of the other two because obviously they're all occupied. Because when I walked up, the understanding was when you're standing there that they're all occupied, which is why you're standing there, right? So I'm standing there, and someone else comes behind me.
Yeah.
And she's now waiting behind me. There's now two of us in line waiting for one of these three stalls to open. And it's taking a little while, and I'm thinking, man, nobody has come out of these.
I don't want to be the next person to walk in one of those.
That's what I'm thinking, but I was like, let me just see. So I go up and I wiggle the door.
Yeah.
It's vacant. It's open. Nobody's been in here the whole entire time. And I'm pissed at the lady that went in before me because there is an understanding, just like if you walk in behind somebody that's already pressed an elevator, there's an understanding that you have checked for everyone behind you that the bathrooms are, in fact, occupied. Gary, so I look like a dumbass because I'm standing there and another lady gave me that same trust that I put into someone else and she's standing there. And we waited 60 seconds before something told me, don't just trust this rando lady.
Yep.
Check for yourself. And I did. And this whole time there was a bathroom ready for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to know, is it her fault? Yes.
Ooh.
Or is it my fault for trusting a rando stranger? Should I have been the lady that said, excuse me, and still went and checked all the doors?
Mm. I don't even think that you needed to do that. I don't think that you needed to physically assert your trust as opposed to just verbally. They're like, all full, huh? I mean, give him one of the...
I said that. I said it as like an aside.
And her reaction?
She sort of giggled it off a little bit. I mean, now that I'm like revisiting it, when I think back on it, she didn't exactly confirm they were all full. But that was what you essentially told me by standing there.
Hell, I don't know. I think this is a bit of a gray area at the very...
No!
At the very least. Because if she walks in, then I'm giving all three other doors a jiggle because... There wasn't,
no, but Jim, then you're the asshole that presses the button that's already lit up on the elevator.
The elevator thing is a whole nother question. I walk into an elevator, I'm not asking anybody where their floors are, all right? Because then accusations start flying, okay? Listen, I know there's cameras in elevators these days, but that's just a no-go zone for me. But the bathroom thing, I got to be honest, Elle. You're better than that.
You're checking. So you would have walked by someone who's clearly standing there and wiggled each door.
Yes.
And what would have happened if you had found a vacant spot? Do you get to jump her in line because you discovered the vacant door? Or do you say, oh, there's a door open for you and do you let her go?
No, hell no. Finders keepers. If I jiggle a door and if I understand the setup in which you're describing, some of those doors are a bit sturdy. So you do have to kind of give it a little grit, give it a little grunt, give it a little muscle to open those doors, whether it's a knob or a slider or whatever. And then I'm finders keepers. See you later, bucko. Catch the next one, because this one's mine.
All right. You learn something new every day. I thought...
But I would have been scared to go into some of those doors had I been waiting 60 seconds. I'm like, I don't want to be this person to walk in to this absolute war zone.
Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't have to do any of that.
I did not. It was not. Yeah. It definitely was not a blow up.
Yeah.
Neither was the post game for Colorado State that we were promised, if I'm being honest. And listen, I enjoyed this game. All right.
What was it not to enjoy?
Full disclosure, I was doing a lot of traveling that day coming back from Boulder. My day started at 3 a.m. I might or might not have slept through the entire first half. But the beautiful part is I woke up just in time for the antics. We were told ahead of time,
yes,
from Deion Sanders, because of all of the back and forth with Colorado State head coach Jay Norvell about the glasses, and my mama taught me to blah, 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 that keep the cameras rolling.
Yes.
In fact, Deion specifically said,
well, when we meet at the conclusion of the game, just keep the cameras rolling.
Why'd he do it? I don't understand.
It's like every week there's right. something, but yeah. can we?
I don't bother nobody, man.
I don't say nothing.
Even when I played the misconception, when I played Desmond, I talked junk. I didn't talk junk when I played.
No, right.
I told you what I was going to do, but I'd never downed another man.
Exactly.
Went ahead and humiliated another man. I don't believe in that.
Yeah.
I want to uplift and promote and provoke change in everybody. I don't want to. I can't down another man. How God's going to bless me for putting another man down? I don't believe in that.
This epic back and forth. In-state rivals, they don't like each other.
Yep.
Deion gets the better of him. Shador has this Tom Brady-esque finish. And they kind of just shook hands and were like, what'd it do? And I walked away.
Everybody was tired. Yo, L.
It was a really long day.
Yo, this is a game that started Saturday night and ended Sunday morning.
Yeah.
If this would have ended in maybe the first overtime, maybe we got a little bit of that. Fair. But as the time is ticking, all right, that ill will just sort of dissipates, because you know why? Everybody just wants to go home.
I know.
Everybody just wants to go to bed. And Deion was on record saying, like, there's a couple points in this game that I was like, I can't let this dude win, because it was teetering.
It was
on the brink of that. So I think at that point, Deion had the recognition, this ain't a blowout.
Yeah.
They gave us everything and more.
Sure.
This is double overtime.
Yeah.
I'm going to shake this man's hand.
Yeah.
Because he brought it to us.
He did. I mean, they started out as 19-point favorites, and then Jay Norvell says those things, and then I think they closed at 24-point favorites.
Yeah.
Certainly it was not that. I had said something on SportsCenter a couple of days ago that we get lots of information. We have a whole department called SIG, and their whole job is to just give us all kinds of information. But one of my researchers gave me this little nugget that I used that I felt very smart about, at least at one point in that game.
Shout out researchers.
What up, research? The last six times that in this Rocky Mountain showdown that one of the teams has been ranked in it, the other team, the unranked team, is the one that actually wins. So this was not a foregone conclusion to begin with, even though there was some, you know, some risk of sort of looking ahead if you're Colorado, because you've got Oregon this week, you got USC and whatnot. So it was a good game. And you know what I also appreciated too, as much as I like the petty and I wanted to see a showdown and him, like, I don't know, take a pair of sunglasses and I wanted him to do
gift, and remember the time
when he handed the guy the banana.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like, I wanted him to, like, hand Jay, like, a hat and glasses or something. I don't know.
I don't. Hey, those blenders are sold out. Maybe Deion wanted to, but,
yeah,
yo.
He was smart.
Them things are selling out.
He couldn't get any.
Deion couldn't get a pair of his own glasses.
He couldn't get any. But what I liked that he said afterwards was, what Deion said afterwards was at the end of the day, Jay Norvell is a black coach. A very small fraternity in this space, and I support him, and I know how hard he's worked and how hard it is to be another black man in this space, and so I'm going to give him credit. We're going to squash it, end it there. And I appreciated that.
Yeah.
But the game itself, I think we all knew that Colorado had some weaknesses, but the idea that this team, they just can't run between the trenches, they can't.
Sure.
I mean, they can't. And I think we're going to see Oregon and USC certainly exploit that. But you still, if you're Colorado, you're from there, Gary. I mean, this is a really fun thing.
It's
all
a big
of a
deal.
Sudden, Colorado football is the must-see game every week.
It's a massive deal. Everybody was there. You were there. You were in. You were out. I wish I could have been in the stadium. My sister graduated from Colorado. I went to Colorado State for a year until I failed out and had a 0.9 GPA and was put on academic probation. Yes, a sub-1 GPA is possible.
Wow.
Had ESPN
what does
given
that
me the
platform, like?
it looked like I didn't go to class.
Is that like it mostly looked, D's and an F? Or
two F's, a D, and I passed basketball. Yo, literally, I would show up to basketball.
This
I would
is a pass-fail.
Gary's a great facilitator. He's an awful scorer, but he's a great passer. I got a C in basketball, a D, and two F's. Look at me now.
Hey.
All right, but had people asked me my opinion, I would have said, you mash Colorado State covering that spread because what this rivalry actually is.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Matter of fact, I was saying all the stuff CU was doing was amplifying CSU's fight, and hell, they almost beat him. But to your point, Deion, he's never shied away from what he actually feels, whether it's talking smoke about Jay and then giving him praise after the game. I loved what I saw. Now it's going to get a whole lot more difficult. Oregon, USC, we beat Oregon. They beat Oregon. Game day's right back. You're going right back to Boulder at the end of September. It's going to be super difficult, though, with Travis Hunter out for the next couple of weeks.
Dirty. We can both agree, right?
That was dirty.
It was nasty.
People talking on social media, though, about suspend him, rip his scholarship. No, that's crazy. Twitter's crazy.
Sure.
But it was a dirty play.
Certainly an ejection for targeting.
It should have been an ejection.
Would have been worthy. You hate to see someone like a Travis Hunter go down.
Yes.
I think that's probably why this game was as close as
Correct.
It was ultimately. But it was a good game. My mom, also from Colorado, like you, Gary, will be the first one to tell you, Colorado State is the only rival that Colorado has. So that, of course, is why she was defending the storming of the field.
Here we go.
Great debate here.
Here we go is literally what all the kids were saying once they won. Here we go.
Here we go.
We were 1-11 last year.
Yeah.
They did beat Nebraska, which was a geographical rival until they split
used to
conferences.
Be. You sure?
Yeah. So it was a big deal that they beat them. But yeah, nothing more than the Rocky Mountain Showdown. I'm rocking with your mom, as you know, storm the field.
So you think it's okay
at all costs.
That even though you're a 24-point favorite at home, you can storm the field?
It doesn't matter anymore. I think the script in the book was thrown out on the efficacy and the etiquette of storming the field. All right, your team unranked just beat an unranked team or an unranked team just beat a top five team, storm the field. Okay, we just knocked off the number one team in the country, storm the field. The book is thrown out. I think with all of the landscape changes, this team won one game last year.
Sure.
You never know when these students are going to have an opportunity to storm it, if ever again. Storm it. Who cares?
I'm with you. I think it speaks to the greater, and typically I would sort of roll my eyes at this a little bit. I might have definitely rolled my eyes at Tennessee last year.
Mm-hmm.
They destroyed their own field. They throw the goalposts in the river.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's typically, right, but that's typically behavior you do when you're angry. Why would you destroy your own shit? Destroy Alabama's. Like, you do that at Tuscaloosa, fine. You cost your team. Anyway, only to
it.
The next week then get boat raced by Georgia. It was really kind of embarrassing.
Yeah.
But anyway, I would normally be anti that, act like you've been there before. They haven't been there before.
They've
and
not,
here's the thing, Gary,
there.
For a little history lesson for those of you that don't know, the one time Colorado was there in those early 90s in the glory days when Eric Bieniemy was tolling the rock, their one co-national championship is clouded and mired in one of the biggest controversies in college football history, the fifth down game. I mean, if they're not given five downs, it happened, look it up, then maybe they don't have that national championship. So even then, you know, my mom always talks about, like, even in the Cordell Stewart days, they always felt like they were trying to legitimize themselves.
Yeah.
And while Denver will always be a Broncos town, Colorado loves their football. They love football. So it's a big deal to them that they're finally back, and not just that they're necessarily going to be great. Nobody expects that they're going to run the rest of the road and be undefeated. But the idea that they're relevant, Gary, the idea that they went from the most irrelevant school in the most irrelevant conference to now being, you know, the site of college game day.
Wheezy F Baby pulling up.
All of them.
The Rock pulling
but
up.
But there is only one problem that I have in all of this.
Really?
It's a major issue.
Oh, no. L. Come on.
And I think it speaks to the greater conversation of appropriation.
Oh. And here we go.
A couple of weeks ago, the video went viral after they beat TCU.
Mm-hmm.
Of the locker room and Coach Prime, and, you know, he's doing his whole, like, we coming, you know, whatever. And then he follows that up with, like, we ain't coming.
Yep.
We here. Everybody's here. And that's kind of become the rallying cry, the catchphrase, the tagline, whatever you want for this Colorado season. But the problem is, Gary, as you know.
Why do I know?
Okay. Let's just say the makeup of Boulder matches the snow-capped mountains of the Rockies.
Ah, yes, the Birkenstock capital of the world.
Right. And listening to fifth-generational hippies try to quote the vernacular of Deion Sanders is very cringy.
Some articulation lost, if you will, or added.
Right. They need the R so bad, Gary.
Yep.
They needed Deion to say, we are here. That's what they needed. But they got we here. And now when they say it, as evident by the 70-year-old lady that talked to me when I was in Boulder.
How'd that conversation go?
I just am so excited. You know, he said it. We here.
Oof.
We here.
Oof. Oof.
And I just, it's not our fault.
Yep.
That's the catchphrase, and she wants to be in on it. But it's just, it's the level of cringe that I feel every time an anchor is forced to read a tweet in the voice of the player that tweeted
it. We're bringing it in-house, people.
It's hard.
I got to be honest. Sometimes when I see the tweets, I'm like, dang it, what do I do?
What do I do? What do you do? So what do you do? You see a tweet. There is clearly some...
Yeah, I read it as is. Listen.
But do you do it like news anchory, or do you try to do it in their voice?
Hell, I'm a news anchor, then I don't even do stuff news anchory. Oh. What do you mean? I read it straight up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like, give me an example.
Like, we here. We come and we here. If I were to read a Deion Sanders tweet and he was like, we 2-0, we come and we here. You close your eyes, it's basically like Deion Sanders talking into the microphone.
Well,
I'm not saying we are coming, we are here. You guys better not do any sort of tricky manipulation with that soundbite right there. We coming.
I already marked
we
it.
We here.
So I come in for SportsCenter one morning.
I just give all of those to Randy.
It's way worse too. Because at least in real life, you do say things. Your vernacular does include. Well, honey. I come in for, stop dabbing, Gary. Damn it. I come in for SportsCenter one day. It's like 3 a.m. And I can like see the producers like whispering. I'm like, oh God, what?
Uh-oh.
And finally they're like, could you help us out here?
Uh-oh.
And the thing is, I recognize when they're sort of saying to themselves, oh no, we don't want to do phone a black friend, but also we also know she is the
but
one
listen,
black person,
read
so she
the room.
Will understand.
Gotta read the room.
Right?
Yep.
So it's a tweet from Alvin Kamara, running back for the Saints. And I don't even remember what the hell the subject is, but I'm from Atlanta. He's from Atlanta.
Makes perfect sense.
I understand the lingo.
Yep.
And so they asked me to translate. They were like, what is he saying here? And I'm going to spell out the word for you that they couldn't understand what it was. I'm going to see if you know
this
it.
This is going to be great. And then I get, then
actually,
I get,
I'm going to type it for you and I want to see if you can read
then
it.
Then I get to guess the producers you were working with that
yeah.
day.
Uh-huh. Okay. Hell I'm going to make the word really big and bold and then I'm going to have you read it.
Also, that's funny that they phone a friend with you for this and then I was supposed to be the one to read the Rui Hachimura extension for the Lakers.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that's messed up.
Call your Korean guy?
All the Shohei Ohtani on
that's
cams
weird.
For some reason.
Okay.
Yeah. What you talking about?
There we go.
What you talking about?
So the word, guys, is TALMBOUT.
Yeah,
that's talking about.
What you talking about?
Yeah, what you talking about?
Yeah.
And he had tweeted something about, like, you know, F what you talking about. it was I-O-N. I don't know, you know. And so they then were like, would you feel comfortable, like, reading it on air? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I know what he's saying. But I wasn't going to do it, like, you know.
What are you talking
Kamara
about?
Kamara tweeted, what are you talking about? So I just said it as if I was, you know, and I was like, I don't know what you heard, what you talking about.
Yeah.
And it felt natural to me. Right.
Yeah.
But had that been a show with, I don't know, let's say Hannah, someone classy.
Yeah.
And Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have been the one to read the tumbout? And would they have said tumbout?
Don't try to don't make me be the wedge. In that hypothetical, okay? Don't make me be the wedge in that hypothetical. All I know is that tweet probably put the producer's head in a pretzel more than Cam Newton's tweets. No. And he writes those in Alien.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? You know, he writes those in code.
Yeah.
And they can decipher that. Was that Artie? Was that Artie John LaVoy? I don't know.
It was pick your poison. Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Yeah, it was 4 a.m. It could have been. Insert
nice.
SportsCenter producer.
Nice.
But it was
all
great.
Fantastic people.
They're
cream
all
the
amazing.
Crop, best in the business.
Yeah, and every one of them would admit to you that they would not know how to navigate talking about.
Big time journalists too. Like they spell out words. So this is foreign concept. Fortunately, I'm foreign. I'm born in Korea.
Korea. If you guys didn't know
South
from
Korea.
The fast half, please stop saying
yo,
that.
Yo, no,
people
no, no, no.
don't think you're from North Korea. They can't.
L.
You've never met anyone from North Korea, people.
L. Time out. You know when there's signs like in obvious areas, it's like, please don't flush live animals down the toilet. You know why there's signs like that? Because somebody did. Okay. So the reason I say Korea South is because you wouldn't believe how many people have been. As a conversation starter, almost like Korean. Oh, cool. Korean, Polish. Cool. Which Korea? And I'm just like,
oh, no. Really?
I'm just like, okay. Did you get out of elementary school? third grade max. Anyway, yes, it's been a question.
What an icebreaker. Sometimes you should just say North and then just be like, how about that Kim Jong-un, huh?
I'll be like, hey,
that guy sucks.
North Korea, don't tell anybody. They'll kill my whole family. They will kill my whole family.
That got dark.
Yeah, they will. But I'm like, I'm north of 5'2", so I'm actually South Korean. Speaking of 6 foot is tall, you know, I put the poll out and everybody was like, we love Elle. She don't know what she's talking about.
Yeah. We're taking a little bit of an ADD detour. But yes, on the first episode, if you missed it, I accused anyone of being, I said 6 foot is average. Anything under 5'10 is short. And anything over 6'3 is tall. And the short kings were on the attack. You know, they were, it's like, they just, the little guys were everywhere. They were really revealing themselves.
It was an easy fight though, because they were so short. Exactly. No, I just think you peg it one up. 6 foot is tall. 5'10 is average. Everything else is short.
Okay.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We're not too far off.
We're not super far off, but as I said, I think the short kings were certainly in my thing. Speaking of short, thinking of ADD tours, the beautiful thing about this podcast, and maybe also the maddening thing about it as well, is that it is being hosted by two people who are long-suffering attention deficit disorder sufferers.
ADD tour.
ADD tour. It's true.
Graphic.
But the good news is, with that in mind, we put this show together.
Yes.
So that if you have the attention span of a three-year-old, you could still consume and absorb sports in a way that makes sense to you.
Yep.
And so in the same way that there is a hashtag all over.
I've known that forever.
Yeah, sure. We definitely didn't learn that just today, that there's a hashtag called Too Long Didn't Read, TLDR. We didn't find that out minutes ago, that that's what that means this whole time. So we're doing something for you called Too Long Didn't Watch. And this is the NFL edition.
It explains itself.
Congrats, Broncos. You're undefeated at making mid look like Joe Montana. To that point, Sam Howlitzer, am I right? And what did Sean Payton do to the pass interference gods?
0-2. Giants, even when they win, they lose. No way you should have been in that situation against the Cardinals. You got Saquon Barkley in there with 1 minute to play, and that's when he sprains his ankle because you were down by 21 points. Come on.
Speaking of which, I watched the Cardinals score 28 points, and I still don't know who their quarterback is. Only that it's not Kyler Murray, but getting similar results, and probably for a lot cheaper.
Josh Dobbs says thank you. His fourth team in about the same amount of years, and he's getting a dub. This our year starter pack might actually hit this year. The Cowboys look good. They look real good. We might finally see this meme come to life. Fully equipped with the high top Vades, zero on the sides. You got the stonewashed jean shorts. You got the Jordan 13s. And then insert Cowboy player jersey here.
Joe burrowed himself in an ice bath. Am I right? Lamar Jackson, worth every penny. Bubble wrap that dude.
Has yet to lose to those Bengals. Or maybe just one loss. Hey, Patriots. You brought back the throwbacks. Now bring back everyone else who used to play in them. This team is unrecognizable. And you simply cannot lose in those special jerseys. It should just simply be a rule. You got a new lighthouse that's 90 feet tall. And yesterday's performance made me want to jump right off of it. To that point, though, Bill Belichick, more accurate than Zach Wilson. Take a look at Belichick throwing this challenge flag straight into the ground. Much like a lot of Zach Wilson's passes yesterday.
Yeah, not even Zach Wilson thinks that he can do this.
That's so sad. Oh, that's so sad. Okay, last one from Foxborough. Tyreek Hill says Pats fans are nasty. He said some of the things they were saying, I wouldn't say in church. Tyreek, newsflash. Do you know how many things you can't and shouldn't say in church? You should have said things I wouldn't say in prison. I'm also going to say don't Google Tyreek Hill allegations. Speaking of prison.
Oh. And lastly.
Oh. Ooh. Justin Fields. And he just got sacked again. 5 seconds. That was like the average time he was hanging on to that ball. Things are getting ugly quick in Chicago.
And there it is, guys. Your ADD look at the NFL week 2.
Sports professionals.
It's the most casual stand take you can have.
Oh.
You wanted to ask me something that will inevitably mean I'll have to answer a lot of questions at some point to my children.
Yeah,
ask
this
away.
Is good, because the internet remembers everything.
I know.
And on the same Coach Prime orbit here, he doesn't mince words. He says exactly how he feels.
Sure.
Whether that be professionally on the football field or personally in his life.
Yeah.
Like ranking his children.
Mm-hmm.
Shiloh Sanders had a pick 6. He was on the bottom of that list.
Yeah.
After the game this week, he said Shiloh went up a couple notches.
Nice.
The point being is he ranks his kids.
Sure.
And you as a mother of children, 2 of them now.
Yeah.
X and Eva. What are the rankings?
Yeah, I feel like Prime is in a better position. First of all, I love that he admits that he ranks his children. We all have favorites.
Yep.
That is 100% true. I don't care what any of you are saying. You can deny it all you want, but in your mind, you know. But he has more children to rank. You know, I think he's got like 5, right? So you can fall out of the top 3. You can aim and aspire to be something. I've just got the 2. So right now, Xander has hand, foot, and mouth disease. So he's plummeting down the rankings.
Ooh, yikes.
Just because of the overall, you know, disgustingness of sores and things like that on your body.
Not really his fault, though.
Yeah.
The X-Man just went.
To be debated.
New in school?
Yeah, kids are dirty. He probably put something in his mouth he shouldn't have or ate something he shouldn't have.
Sure.
Anyway, so that sucks. But I would say in general, Eva tends to hover at number 1 just because she's potty trained. She's more self-sufficient. She can reach her own snacks. She can bathe herself. Basically, the idea that she takes a lot more off of my plate and I don't really have to parent her makes her my favorite child right now.
Which obviously leads me to my follow-up, and this will be the last one. You said X-Man has hand, foot, and mouth disease.
Yes.
Tumbling down the rankings, which means he wasn't number 1.
Yes.
You just listed all these incredible attributes of Eva, who we all love and adore.
Yeah.
Why was she occupying that number 2 spot to begin with?
Because he's my boy and I'm not better than that.
Okay. No, yeah. I understand. And these are objective rankings, right? Like I don't need to ask Omar.
Yeah. Omar would be one of those parents that would be like, oh, I don't rank my children.
Come on.
He would definitely, he would hit me with one of those. He's very
Omar.
Evolved and mature.
That's why it's not the Omar show. Okay.
Correct.
It's the L. Duncan show.
What a boring answer.
One day when I have children, I too will subscribe to the ranking theory.
Yeah.
Until then.
It's the best part of having kids. You get to pit them against each other just for your sheer enjoyment and entertainment.
I really hope my sister's not going to listen to this podcast, but I think I'm the favorite.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. She's skyrocketed up the rankings recently, though, because she's closer to marriage.
Yeah.
but I held the title for a while.
I am convinced that when you reach a certain age with your parents, the only thing that makes you the favorite is your ability to potentially take care of them. So yeah. I'm for sure my parents' favorite just because I'm the only, beer. Well, I'm the only thing that stands in the way between them and like a state-run nursing home. So I think that like they would probably say I am their favorite, but just purely for that reason. Self-preservation.
They got nicer ones than state-ran, Al. It's Connecticut.
Yeah, if you pay for them, but if I don't pay for them, that's where you're going.
Damn.
Well, now that I've threatened my parents, see you guys Thursday.
Wait, no. Thursday, L. Duncan is debuting a new song.
Listen.
And that's a tease.
All I'm going to say
play him the hook. Him the hook?
Bijan left and Bijan right. Bijan up the middle, Bijan on the side. That's all you need to know. All you need to know, friends, is that every great Atlanta Falcons run has ultimately had some weird song or dance wrapped around it to help drive attention and intrigue. And this year's no difference. Bebe, coming soon. It's the Bijan Bounce.
That's a tease.